Coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk, legendary play-by-play voice Rich Chavotkin gives his thoughts on Georgetown's history, its Friday game against Villanova, and thoughts on this year's Big East. Decorated Blue Eagle head coach Dave Crowell brings in his wrestlers to talk about last night's Easton match and the road ahead. Plus, features on high school basketball and wrestling programs from the Washington, D.C. and Eastern Pennsylvania region. These stories and more coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. This is RCN Sports Talk. I'm Chris Michael. We're so glad you could be with us this evening. We have a lot of special guests on tonight's program, so let's get right to our first guest. Joining us on the phone lines, the legendary play-by-play voice of Georgetown men's basketball, going on his fifth decade, going strong, of calling Georgetown men's basketball game down in the D.C. area. Rich Chavotkin is joining us. Rich, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. As you well know, we love to talk about Georgetown hoops.
Absolutely.
Big victory last night for the Hoyas, and now our friendly foe, the Cats, come to town Saturday afternoon in the battle for first place.
Yeah, you're right in the middle of a busy week. So you won by 20 last night, and you got Nova coming up. Before I ask you about this year's team, though, there's so many questions I would love to ask you. And again, we appreciate you spending some time with us. I'd love for you to go back and tell about how you started. Because in the early 70s, it wasn't commonplace to have every major college have their games broadcast on radio, let alone TV, and of course now the internet. But what was it like getting started? And I'm told there was kind of a humorous story. You had to impress John Thompson to get on the air. So what were those first few years like?
Well, the first year that I started was the 74-75 season. How I got involved, I did it as an undergraduate at the University of Scranton. And then I was in the military, and I was fortunately being sent to Walter Reed. And I went to a couple of college games, and I went to a few Georgetown games, and I saw they didn't have any radio. So I said, well, I did this in undergraduate. I'd like to try to get back in and just see if I can do this again. And I made some tapes. I went to see the Bullets games. You know, they played over in Landover at the time, did a couple of Georgetown games, did a few tapes of other college games, and presented to Coach Thompson and Frank Connors, the then sports information director, athletic director Frank Rienzo. And they liked the tapes. They said, boy, this is wonderful. You can be the voice of the Hoyas. They say, congratulations, except we have a problem. We have no radio station and no advertising. So I had to go out with them, get a radio station. We were able to get WOK in Washington to do the first year. I had to go out and sell the advertising and wrote all the commercials. My wife then-to-be helped me write the commercials. So it was a work in progress. But thanks to the good Lord, we were able then to continue on, and I've been doing it 42 years hence. So I was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
I was able to give a good delivery. I made some tapes. They liked it. And again, you know, they didn't have any programs, so I started it from scratch, and here I am 42 years later, still enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah. Could you talk about how Georgetown has evolved as a basketball program over the last several decades? Of course, they started to improve in the very early 80s, and then you had Patrick Ewing and Sleepy Floyd and later Alonzo Mourning and other great names coming to Georgetown. What was that period like, and how much of an impact did some of those early great names make for the program's success overall?
Well, you know, to be very honest with you, I look back in the third year that I started, basically John Thompson's third year, my first year, and they had Jonathan Smith, they had Merlin Wilson, they had Billy Lynn. It was a pretty much a D.C. team. John came over from St. Anthony's High School and brought a lot of his players with him. So basically, he brought a city legacy with him that did a very good job at St. Anthony's. So in the mid-70s, they were a good ball club. In fact, that first year, they went to the NCAA. Of course, then the John Doerr and the Craig Shelton group came in, the 79-80 team. And then, of course, Sleepy Floyd and Patrick Ewing, when he came in the 81-82 season, went to the Final Four, and then on and on and on, as you well know. But, you know, people talk about, well, it was only the Ewing years. Well, well before that, the Doerr, Shelton, late 70s, the early 80s, and even the 74-75 season, my first year, was their first year that they went to the NCAA. So, you know, John's legacy, I believe, started way back in the 74-75 campaign when he took Georgetown to the NCAA tournament.
Several years later, then, you had Allen Iverson coming to Georgetown. And I know you were very fond of him. Could you talk about him as a player at Georgetown, and what was your impressions watching him develop and become an NBA star?
Well, you know, he was such a warrior at both ends of the floor. You know, people talk about Allen's scoring prowess, and of course, he led the NBA in scoring several years, and could just get to the rim and dunk over people at the 6 foot frame that he had. But he was such a warrior on the defensive end. His on ball defense, his just tenacity at both ends of the floor. And he would give you, you know, people talk about give me 40 minutes. Well, Allen would give you 50 minutes in a 40 minute game. I mean, he was like a motor, go, 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 go. You know, it was just a shame to see him depart after 2 years because I could only imagine what he would have been if he stayed 3 or 4 in college. But, you know, he was ready to go. I mean, his NBA was ahead of him. But he was such a joy to watch because he did so many outrageous things on the court. You know, you look at a kid, how quick he was. Mm-hmm. He could score. He got to the rim. He wasn't afraid to mix it up with the bigs. And, again, defensively, he was as good as anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is probably an unfair question because you've seen so many great players and great teams, but besides the national championship team, do you have like a favorite year or a couple players that come to mind that you really enjoy on a short list of the all-time great teams or players?
Well, I've always enjoyed Patrick Ewing. I thought, you know, when he came to Georgetown, he put them over the top in terms of it obviously taking the team to the final four, three of his 4 years there. I think you have to say Ewing's number one. You have to say Allen Iverson, although only played 2 years, has to rank right up there. Alonzo Mourning had a great career. Dikembe Mutombo, you know, Reggie Williams, and then, of course, Michael Sweetney, Greg Monroe only played a couple years, Otto Porter a couple years. I mean, there have been some great, great players that came through that campus, but I think Ewing has to be number one and Iverson number two if I was going to rank them, you know, the top couple.
Mm-hmm. Rich Shcherbakhin, our special guest, legendary play-by-play voice of Georgetown men's basketball. I want to ask you a few questions and get your thoughts on the current team as well, Rich. You had an interesting start to the schedule. 7 consecutive home games right after Thanksgiving, and 10 of 14 games were at home. What was it like? Did you ever see a schedule like that when you had practically a month playing on your home court? And fortunately, it worked out. Was there any advantage to having all that home cooking for pretty much a month long?
Well, I think when you look at the schedule, and I think most coaches will tell you, you know, it's not an exact science. You don't know who the other teams have. You have to try to look at your chemistry, try to take a look at who you need to schedule to get your teams ready. You know, John, over the course of his 12-year tenure, has decided he's going to play against the bigs. He wants a strong strength of schedule. He wants to give his team baptism by fire in the early part of the season. So come January, they're ready for conference play. You know, this year, his strength of schedule. He took Maryland right out of the gate, and, of course, then they played Duke in the 2K Classic. So, you know, he's not afraid to schedule teams like that. And even though they lost to Duke, even though they lost to Maryland, you know, he feels that you're going to get your team ready come January for conference play. And again, he's often said that scheduling is so difficult because you never know 1 year when you have defections going to the NBA or you have transfers. Mm-hmm. So you never know what you get. Look at Monmouth this year. People didn't realize how good Monmouth was. And I saw them beat Notre Dame. They took Dayton to the wire. So they're a ball club. When you schedule them, you say, oh, this is an easy ball game. Oh, no. You know, none of those games anymore. There's so much parity going on in college basketball, no matter who you schedule. If you don't lace them up for 40, you could get an L. And that's what happened with Georgetown played Radford. That's what happened when they played UNC Asheville. I mean, you've got to come to play. And, you know, so no matter who you schedule, you got to put it on the hardwood for 40 minutes.
It looked early in the season that Bradley Hayes and Isaac Copeland were the main guys, and then as that stretch of home games and as the wind started piling up, it became a lot more diverse in terms of contributions and who was scoring and who was giving you solid efforts on a given night. Has John Thompson found kind of like a comfortable rotation at this point?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In the most recent victory over DePaul, the bench outscored DePaul 39-19. And in fact, I said that to John the other day, and he said, I wasn't even aware that we had outscored them that much. Of course, LJP came off the bench and had 17. So he's trying to find the combinations. And, you know, LJ got into early foul trouble. That's why John wanted to bring him off the bench so he could make sure that he stays on the floor toward the end of the ballgame. There were several contests where LJ would pick up 2 quick fouls, and, you know, John sits him. So you play 4, 5, 6 minutes in the first half. And then you pick up a third foul early in the second half. You know, you're not going to play many minutes. So he's trying to find that combination. And Jesse Goldman is playing really, really at a high caliber at both ends of the floor, not only offensively, but shot blocking, rebounding. You know, he's a big, wide body in the perimeter. He can step out and shoot the three. So, you know, John's still trying to find the right combination. You started Trey Campbell over the last five to take a little pressure off DSR handling the ball. So, you know, he's still trying to – and it's still a young team. Copeland, Peak, Campbell, Trey Mourning, all sophomores. You know, the seniors, Smith Rivera and Bradley Hayes, and everybody else is just the young kids. But they're coming along, and, you know, hopefully good things will happen when they play Villanova on Saturday.
Yeah, that'll be, I believe, your sixth Big East game, so you haven't seen all the teams yet. But your thoughts on the Big East overall, and who do you think a month from now are going to be the teams fighting for the Big East championship?
Well, I'm hoping the Big East gets sixth. And, you know, right now you have to say Villanova's clearly in the driver's seat. They haven't lost in over a year. The last time they lost a Big East game, both regular season and tournament, was when Georgetown beat them 78-58 last January. So it's been a year that the Cats have tasted defeat in conference play. Obviously, Xavier is a very good ball club. A veteran ball club, a lot of great players on the interior. Trayvon Blewett does a great job. Miles Davis, I think when Sumner gets back, it'll give them, you know, added strength in the backcourt. Providence, an NCAA team. You know, Butler is ranked 23rd in the nation. You know this. And they're 1-3 in the conference. Go figure that out. 1-3, and they're in the top 25 in the nation. And then you have Marquette is a type of team that, you know, they can give anybody a battle. You know, I think DePaul and St. John's will be at the bottom of the rung because, you know, they're still struggling. But I think there's six or seven teams that have potential to go to the NCAA, and I hope Georgetown's one of those.
Yeah. Rich, before we let you go, you mentioned the big win last night. You won by 20 over St. John's. You got Villanova coming up. Your thoughts on Nova so far this year, and what are some of the keys that Georgetown has to execute in order to pull off another win?
Well, you know, Nova's got such great guards that they do such a great job on the perimeter. They spread the floor. And when you take a look at how they play at the offensive end, you know, they really spread the ball around. They have four or five guys that can handle the ball. I mean, Ochefu is the lone real big, and he does a great job at both ends of the floor. So they're going to have to try to contain him. Maybe Jesse Govan, when he's playing in there, can step out and force the big fellow to come out. But, you know, Georgetown can't turn the ball over. Villanova is just too good. They make you pay at the other end and transition. And they're going to have to step out to the three-point line. That's been something that Georgetown struggled with over the course of the season, getting out to defend the three-point line. Villanova can spread you out. And then you have this kid, Josh Hart, from nearby Silver Spring, Maryland, went to high school at Sidwell Friends right down the street from where I work in northwest D.C. and just a stone's throw from Georgetown's campus. So he and Chris Jenkins from Gonzaga, I mean, they're a very good ball club, and I was surprised they lost to Oklahoma the way they did. And but they're a good ball club, and Jay Wright has this guard rotation. He can play four guards and one big, and they spread you out. So, you know, Georgetown's going to have to step up on the defensive end.
All right, Rich, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it, and continued success to you and the Georgetown Hoyas.
You know, guys, it's only January. We got nearly 2.5 months before March Madness, but you know, things are starting to rev up here, and hopefully the good things will happen for Georgetown.
Yeah, and you've gotten off to a great start with the Hoyas. All right, Rich, again, thanks so much for your time. And
always a pleasure, gentlemen. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Rich Travatkin, the longtime legendary broadcaster of the Georgetown Hoyas, and it's such an honor to have him on the program. We thank Rich for joining us. All right, let's introduce our special studio guest here along with the co-host of the program, Mr. Joe Craig, legendary Nazareth head coach on the wrestling match, Dave Crowell. Now you got me doing it.
Kroll.
You're messing me up here. Dave Kroll. We waited 4 years to have him here in the studio, thanks to you,
and
Joe.
You've messed his name up three times already.
And joining us for our first half hour here, Sammy Saiso and Brock Wilson.
Did he get those names right?
Sasso.
You know what? I want to blame you.
People are not going to understand that you at one time taught English.
No,
I mean,
I didn't.
It's amazing.
It was a TV studio. We don't have grammar. We don't have any of that nowadays. Get with the program.
You were part of the English program.
Dave. Oh, do you want to ask the first question?
No.
All right. Dave, I want to start with you because, seriously, we've been trying to get you on for 4 years, and every year it either snows when you're supposed to be here or you have a wrestling match that snows and it gets pushed off to another date. And I blame Joe for that because he claims to have all this power here in the Lehigh Valley. But before we talk about your team, though, I got to ask you, five-time Pennsylvania Coach of the Year, NWCA National Coach of the Year 2007, NHCCA National Coach of the Year 2001, over 400 victories. I could go on and on with all your honors. From an individual standpoint, what are some of the honors and some of the things that you've accumulated that you're most proud of?
Well, that's a tough one. That's a very good question. I don't know if I have a very good answer because I wouldn't probably have enough time. as I look back, I mean, I've had just a great opportunity to coach some just great kids. And I think those are the things you appreciate more. When you're young and you're just starting out, it's all about the wins and that. But as you grow as a coach and mature, I think, as a person, you start to realize it is about the relationships. And so I've just had some really, really special moments. We had a couple great ones last year at the end of our year. You know, no one probably would have expected us to have anybody even in the finals. We ended up having two guys in the finals. Tyson Klump won states. I think it's as far as I know, I guess this is a great honor. He had the most losses of any state champion in Pennsylvania history.
Yeah.
So one time you say it's not a great thing to have. I think it's a great, it is a great honor because it shows how far you go, you know, the things that you persevere through and the challenges you go. Another just a great thing, it's just been, it has nothing to do with me, it's just a tribute to the kids. Since I've been at Nazareth, and I'll probably jinx this now, so if you believed in jinxes, and which I don't. But since I've been there, so this is my 13th year coaching, we have had a state finalist every year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been, that's amazing that there's been somebody in the finals. So, but we had a Zach Horan, who was there for 4 years. We had Tim Darling, who was there for 3 years. You know, we just have had those individuals. And, you know, we had two more last year, which every year we say, well, this is it. We're not, okay, streak's over. But somehow these guys come through. And, so.
You know, you want to ask the wrong question of this guy, because this guy's one of the most humble guys I know
in the
wrestling
circle. Well, I've been waiting 4 years to ask him that question.
Honestly, I mean that. You know, and that's an attribute that I wish more coaches had.
Or host, too.
Yeah,
show host.
Yeah, right. So that's a tough question to ask Steve, because he is a very – very humble guy.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about your assistant coaches before I forget, too, because I know Adam wrestled under Ray Nonnemaker, the late, great Ray Nonnemaker, for many years. Could you just talk a little bit about your staff?
Yeah, so I have three guys that are coaching, that coach with me up at the high school level. So it's Adam Colombo, Derek Deitch, and Joe Pravini. I coached Derek. So Derek was a senior my first year I came to Nazareth. And so those three, all Nazareth people, born and raised, wrestled at Nazareth. I'm the only coach on the staff that's not from Nazareth. So I'm a Northwestern Pennsylvania guy. So they're the ones that are holding it together. I'm just trying not to mess up too much there. And but they are just great, great guys that, which is a great attribute. And it's a funny thing, you know, when we talk about like a staff, and that's actually my number one priority or requirement as a coach on my staff is loyalty. And, you know, I think in any organization, that's just a huge thing.
And
I've seen some disasters occur when that, and nobody is more loyal than those guys, not only to our wrestling program and me, but Nazareth.
And you've had success at three different stops, too. And you've gone to Wilson and Easton, too, which I think is interesting.
One of the things I wanted to say, too, is, and I don't know if you realize this, Chris, but you've been the source of a lot of guys who then became head coaches.
There's a few guys. Yeah.
One of them at Easton who you know, these are guys that you've tutored.
Yeah, well, Steve Powell and I, we were actually, we were hired at exactly the same time. We both were just coming out of college. We both were phys ed teachers at phys ed majors, both hired as phys ed teachers as coaches. The head coach at the time was a guy named Bob Zarbatani. I had a great 10-year reign there. And he up and left, bought a hotel in Lake Tahoe, Nevada, and I'm about 22 years old and hired as the head wrestling coach at Easton. I thought I knew a lot and knew absolutely nothing about coaching. But Steve was actually the head junior high coach the year before that, so then, of course, he came up on the staff. And another coach, Dan Kuhn. So it was three young guys. We just wrestled the crap out of those kids every day. We wrestled as much as they did, and it was just three guys having fun. But it was a really great time. And then I retired temporarily from coaching after 7 years, and Steve took over and has been there since then. So, of course, we wrestled against Steve's team last night, and we sat in his office for about an hour, more than an hour, just chatting. And I think he's been coaching now for about 40. It's been about 40 years, close to 40 years.
Well, speaking of Easton, I want to ask you and the players about that. A big match last night. We had it on RCN. It was a competitive match, but you guys pulled it out.
Now, Chris, you got to get this straight. You don't call wrestlers players. They're wrestlers.
You're cutting into their time, by the way.
I thought I'd correct that right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. So we'll start with East. You've interrupted all every single question.
All my wrestling
I've had
buddies
so far
are going to tell me tomorrow. Tell Chris not to call them players.
All right. So we'll start. Well, how about we ask the wrestlers your thoughts on Easton last night and the big win?
I just think we came out ready to wrestle. Last year we looked flat, weren't ready to go, but this year came out good environment to wrestle in. We're ready to go.
Yeah. Brock, how about you?
The stadium was packed. It was just a great place to wrestle, and that's how wrestling matches should be, like lined up like that. How it used to be, like back when our parents used to wrestle, it used to always be every match packed, no matter what. And it's kind of declined since then, but that last night just showed like a huge step.
There's so many things that conflict, and people have time all over the place. But you guys, the fact that you're wrestling in that kind of an environment, you got two great teams with a lot of good wrestlers, two great coaches. I mean, that all contributes to that. You know, it's much to be admired, really, from both programs.
Yep. Okay.
apart from the two great coaches, there's at least we know one. Steve Powell's had just a tremendous thing. Yeah. For me, the Easton is just, I think it's arguably one of, if not the best, rivalry. And I know fans in Nazareth that do not own any red apparel. They will not wear red because Easton's red, and that's how much that they're serious about.
There's not a red car in Nazareth.
Exactly.
Not a red car.
So we really look forward to it. It was really good to see last night that we did, our guys came out and just, they wrestled. My son, of course, he wrestled for me, he's coached with us, and that was his kind of assessment of the whole thing, that our guys just came out and just wrestled. And sometimes it's not easy to do in a kind of a pressure environment like that.
Yeah, we're going to be back in just a moment to talk with you more about that match and about the fine season and the road ahead. Right now, though, it's time to let our audience in on the trivia question tonight and give them a shot at tonight's question. And since we had Rich Chavotkin on, our special guest, our question does deal with Georgetown basketball. Patrick Ewing and Eric Sleepy Floyd were 1-2 all-time in terms of scoring, but who is third all-time scoring in Georgetown men's basketball history? Of course, Allen Iverson actually was fourth on that list, so there's a lot of other great names that have been at Georgetown, so we need the correct answer of who was number three behind Patrick Ewing and Sleepy Floyd in terms of all-time scoring on Georgetown's men's basketball's list. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
And our question, Patrick Ewing, Sleepy Floyd are one and number two. Who is third all-time scoring in Georgetown men's basketball history? And speaking of D.C. sports, it's time for the debut of the first of two D.C. High School Hoops basketball features we have on RCN Sports Talk. So here is number one of two in the D.C. DKN Sports Minutes.
This is the DKN Sports Minute. In the charter school division, the ladies of National Collegiate Public Charter School faced KIPP D.C. PCS, while the NCPCS men faced IDEA Public Charter School. The ladies took the floor first. The NCPCS ladies came out fast, but KIPP D.C. hustled hard and kept in the game. But in the second half, NCPCS pulled away. Final score, 38-26. Next, the men took the floor. IDEA took control as High Point Man number one Daryl Bones led the way with 24 points. National Collegiate kept it close, but in the end, IDEA was too much. Final score, 71-61. This has been the DKN Sports Minute.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests, Dave Kroll, Nazareth head wrestling coach. Joe Craig is here, although we're trying to get rid of him as best we can. Sammy Sasso and Brock Wilson are joining us here for segment number two here on the program here. We, again, have that trivia question out there looking for who's third all-time in the scoring for Georgetown men's basketball. We'll get to some of the potential guessers in a moment. Sammy, I want to ask you about the 138 weight class, though, because that is loaded. And I hear everyone I talk to, you're the guy there. You're the number one guy there. But you got Evan Fidelbus, I believe, who's dropped down. You got people from Emmaus and Parkland and Penn Argyle and all these other schools that are saying, boy, that's going to be a fascinating weight class. What are your thoughts on the 138 weight class, and what have you done that everyone is saying you're still the number one guy in that class?
Just look at everyone the same, ready to wrestle. When I just go out, wrestle my best, no matter who I'm wrestling.
Do you take a peek at the rankings and what people are saying in the chat rooms and blogs, and do you get an extra surge when you surge up to number one?
No, not really.
Dave has a huge smile on your face. Have you seen a history of something different?
Well, Sam knows everybody, all right? So if you would ask, he's one of those guys, if you'd ask him a question about a wrestler, he would know where he's from, what his record is, what weight he's at, what weight he's going to.
That's good, yeah.
He would know it all, and that is his passion. He knows all about it. He's very humble. He was very, very good last year, and he took huge steps during the year last year. And, you know, sometimes once you see someone that really grows like that as an athlete, you say, well, maybe they're kind of, you know, plateauing out. Well, he's taken another huge jump this year, which is just I'm amazed when I see him compete. I'm just really amazed at his level of and he's not the only one that's taken huge jumps on our team, but he really does amaze me to watch him wrestle. Yeah.
Brock, you're kind of in the same situation at 145. The latest couple rankings I've seen in the last few weeks, you're number one, and there's kids from Becca and Deerough and Bangor and Easton and schools all over the place that people are saying these are very competitive wrestlers, and yet you're still number one. So how do you take that approach to be so successful?
Well, yeah, I've done a lot of work over the summer because last year I didn't perform to what I thought I could have. And, I did beat the Becca kid, Maloney, and I had a lot of tough matches with him last year, so that was a good match for me.
Yeah. Now, Brock, you lost, I think it was 2-1 in the tournament last weekend, but what's it like going down? Because I know you always schedule tournaments, and you want to go out and try to find the very best, not just in the Lehigh Valley, but in the nation sometimes. What was it like, and what was the quality of competition at that tournament you were at last weekend?
It was good. The kid I wrestled in the finals I lost to, I had a good match with him. I think I still could have done better. I don't think I wrestled my best, too, but.
Sammy, what's your thoughts on the tournament? How'd you do last week, and what's it like playing tough teams outside the Lehigh Valley?
It's good. Coach Rule gets us to all these tournaments to find us the best guys. He wants us to get the best matches, so we're ready for March. We know a Holiday Classic title, it doesn't mean much, so. We just keep moving forward, keep progressing as a team.
How do you, when you look at schedule, we were talking a little bit about putting a schedule together, and you have the EPC, which is creating some issues too. So how do you go about putting a schedule together and kind of judging, you know, you want to have the high level competition, but you don't want to, you know, have a monster schedule each and every year too.
So this is my job. So my job is to find somebody that will beat every one of my guys. So I want them to get at least one loss during the year. So if they haven't if they haven't wrestled somebody good enough to beat them, I failed as a coach. So I want to make sure that I get them a competition, because sometimes that can be a burden to carry with you, that undefeated record. Yeah. You saw what the Patriots a few years ago. You know, you almost could see that coming. You know, it's something about being undefeated. It's something that's in the back of your mind. It becomes, rather than you're going after, you start to protect some things. So I figured I'll get these guys somebody that can beat them. That takes that off the table right from the get-go. And it's always good to go against somebody that's, not that they are going to beat you, but really have
a challenge.
We talk them in. Yeah, your job is to wrestle as many guys that you can that could beat you. Because then now you're going to rise up to that level. You're going to come up to them.
Oh, can I say something?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, some of these teams like Nazareth and Easton and Bethlehem Catholic and Northampton, Parkland, some of the really top-level teams, the best wrestling some of these guys see is in the wrestling room. I mean, they go against each other, and a lot of times these really successful programs, they get such competition in the wrestling room that it makes the matches easy. The teams that go out and really don't have that much competition in the wrestling room, but they go out and blow everybody away, and then they get into a tournament against some of these other guys, and it's a disaster. So I think the wrestling room itself is a lot of the tough competition they see. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, there's no question. And we kind of have guys, and it's kind of neat when you have, we have a good group of guys, and once they're a certain level, you now can wrestle more guys in your wrestling room. You know, normally you have to keep them really close weight-wise just because you don't want to overpower one or the other. But, you know, like I see Sam today wrestling with Travis Stefanik that's, you know, 22 pounds above bigger, his weight class and go really quite a bit bigger, but they're good enough, they're skilled enough that they can handle that. So it's great. Yeah, you're exactly right. Having that competition in the wrestling room is enormous.
Do you two guys square off against each other?
Yeah.
Yep.
Who's the better wrestler?
Boy, they are humble, these guys.
Travis and Tyson, I think, want to weigh in on that conversation, too. But, I mean, do you like, I mean, that's a good point, though, that Joe mentions about wrestling against each other. Do you look at that challenge and, you know, do you kind of give advice to some of your teammates, too, when you wrestle each other? And do you help each other out that way?
We just got a good chemistry with the team. We'll give pointers here and there to anyone, but we got our 106-pounder wrestling with 38-pounder and just everybody can go. You got a partner no matter what. Yeah. Somebody to push you and make you better a wrestler.
One of the best things when I was an AD and we used to host a lot of the tournaments at Liberty, was neat to see after districts you got into the regionals and you saw kids from different schools would come into the wrestling room. They'd all practice and work out together. So you had kids from Easton and Northampton and Nazareth coming in and wrestling with Liberty kids, and Liberty kids would travel to Freedom. And I think that's where you get a lot of that too later in the year. That's where that camaraderie among the local kids starts to really build. Would you do you see that too, Steve?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. In the district tournament, you're fighting tooth and nail with the other teams. But once you get to that next weekend, now you're bringing the other districts in. You're really pulling for each other. And yeah, you do get a lot of schools. Now, I prefer myself not to travel for practice. I like the little bit of control. Right. I'm a little bit of a control freak, I guess. But I do like when other teams come in and practice with us, which we do. So I like to be able to control, you know, so injury prevention at that point is my number one priority. Right. You don't want someone hurt. But, it's really fun bringing, because, you know, these guys do wrestle each other every day for four months. Yeah. And it's really fun to have somebody come in, somebody else different and new. And it provides you an additional challenge, too. So it's really helpful.
By the way, I'm just going to point this out because you picked on me. You just called him Steve, by the way, Steve Crow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, it's time for Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. It's where our panelists identify someone in the world of sports for doing something extraordinarily well or singling out someone for doing something not so good. And I'll start it off. Thumbs up for the Northampton boys basketball team. Boy, they lost some people to graduation. They lost some people for other reasons this year. They didn't mope. They didn't complain. They went out. They had a very tough month and a half schedule, and they posted two very impressive wins last week, and they're inching closer to getting up to 500 and making another run for the district playoffs. So congratulations to Coach Stampone and the Northampton boys basketball team. Joe, or Steve, or whoever else you are now?
Thumbs up to Harold Fairclough, who just was appointed the head football coach at Emmaus High School, and great appointment, and he'll do a nice job there.
All right. Coach Kroll?
I have a thumbs up to one of my favorite, all my kids are favorite, but we have a wrestler on our team that's just, you'd have to say he's the favorite, I think probably all the wrestlers, is Matt Gilbride, who's just a great guy. He came out and I just got to know him last year. He's a junior now. And he's had some physical problems, but now he just got cleared to start working out again. But he is just one of those guys on our team that everybody just loves. And he works really, really hard. And if he wasn't on our team, everybody would really miss him. So, Matt Gilbride.
All right. Sammy, how about you?
Give a thumbs up to my good friend Chance Marsteller. He's going through some tough times right now, and I just wish for the best for him and hope he gets back on track.
Very good. And Brock?
I'll give my thumbs up to my cousin, Tyler Tarsi. He wrestles for Harvard. He just beat the three-time state finalist and one-time state champion, T.C. Warner from Cumberland Valley, by major decision.
All right. Well, Brock and Sammy, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to bring in some of your colleagues, co-wrestlers, in a moment. But thanks for joining us and continued success to you.
Thank you.
All right. Sammy Sasso, Brock Wilson joining us. We're going to have more great wrestlers from the Nazareth program coming up. Still that trivia question looking for who is third all-time scoring in Georgetown men's basketball history. A lot of great names with the Hoyas, Alonzo Mourning, and so forth. I don't want to run down all the names, but feel free to take a guess. We'll get some emails right after this. And time for our next timeout feature. And we had some technical issues last week, which we apologize for, but right now we can bring you the story of former Wilson standout basketball player Sandrine Glovis. She was returned to her alma mater to continue her career as the head coach of those same Warriors that she once played for. Sports Talk videographer Alyssa Scheckler has her team story.
New coaches are really awesome. It's nice having them around. They're more of a positive influence to the team, and they've been helping us a lot.
I just really want them to come and play 100% and to play for all four quarters is really what I'm looking for. And I'm really glad that as a team, they're slowly coming together. I understand it's a huge adjustment, but I think as time goes on, they'll come closer, and I think we'll be a really good team.
It's going really well. Every one of us are making improvements every game, and we're just trying to do better than last year.
We really plan to make leagues as a team, but we improve like every day.
We have a really young team, and all of us can contribute something.
Our guards are all good. Allie's a good shooter. We have a good team overall, though, and I think we're all going to work together.
Sometimes I still have the player mentality in my mind, so I don't always see the little things, but luckily I have a great coaching staff that can help me along with that. I'm really glad I'm here, and I had a year of coaching experience at the JV level, and it's definitely something entirely new, and I'm learning each day along with the girls.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests are Dave Kroll, the Nazareth head wrestling coach, and we're very happy to be joined by Tyson Klump and Travis Stefanik for our next two segments here on RCN Sports Talk. Guys, thanks for coming in, putting up with Joe and myself here between the commercial breaks. Before we talk wrestling, Travis, I got to ask you, because you had a great football season, made the playoffs this year, despite what some people predicted for you this year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we talked about that during the commercial break, too. But, Travis, just real quick, what was football season like? You surprised a lot of people this year. And you did, and everyone who does this, I think, is the hardest thing in all of high school sports, is you play football, 6-8 months, you build, you bulk up, you eat everything in the refrigerator, you play on a Saturday, and then Monday you get into wrestling mode, and you got to cut weight and be very disciplined with yourself. So what was that transition like?
It was kind of hard at first. I definitely like to eat a lot. During football season, I got to bulk up, getting hit by those big, like, 285-pound linemen. But now I'm in wrestling season. I lost a good amount of weight to get to where I'm at right now. So it was just a real fun season playing for our coach, Falzone.
Yeah, was it fun? And what's that like week like when you go from football into wrestling mode? Because it's tough on a lot of athletes, but I think especially for wrestling.
Yeah, it was real tough. Coach Kroll actually gave me a week off after football season and let me just take a break and recover a little, and then I got back at it the week after.
And Tyson, I want to ask you, you've had some good rivalries, and again, Travis, we can say this about you. You guys are both ranked number one, I think, last I saw on LehighValleyLive.com. But there's some great wrestlers in your weight class. You have Klebold from Northampton, who you won't wrestle. Joe would probably like to comment on that. Luke Warner, there's kids from Parkland and Becca. How do you see this weight class? And you've had wins over some of those big names, too. So your thoughts on the season so far?
The season's been great. There's a lot of tough kids at 113, and at the end of the year, I'm dropping to 106. Mm-hmm. So it should be fun.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to that when you have to go down?
It's gonna be tough, but I'll manage to get through it.
Yeah, it's in the best interest, though, right?
A lot of guys in 106-pound class right now are just shivering because they know he's coming down.
Travis, what's it like for you? You've been wrestling at, 160, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about your season.
Yeah, it's a real good weight class. I'm going to end up dropping to 152 at the end of the season, and I'm just looking forward to the end of the season right now.
Well, look forward to dropping weight like that now, because I'm telling you now, 20 years from now, you're not dropping that kind of weight that quick. I'm telling you. It doesn't work that way.
A couple questions here. First of all, we got to get Andy Weaver on here. So Andy has a question for the coach. How does each match work as far as which bout to start at? Good question from Andy.
It's a good question. You actually do that. Usually the opposing coach picks out of a hat. So the referee that does the weigh-ins comes in with whatever his, sometimes it'll be poker chips with a different weight class in each one in a bag, and you just reach in and you pull it out. So last night was kind of an interesting match. So we had two of the country's top wrestlers at the same weight class. But what's happened over the years is, and I will defend coaches completely, in trying to win the dual meet, a lot of times these good matchups don't occur. You mm-hmm. avoid, you know, you're trying to win. Yeah. You don't want your best guy to lose, and one of these guys are going to lose. So Steve Powell and I talked at the beginning of the week, and we said, you know, we're just missing out on a lot of these good matchups. I mean, there's not a greater matchup this year than to have Sammy Sasso and Evan Fidelibus, who Evan's one of my son's best friends. They've known each other since they've been born. And Evan has a toothbrush at our house. So that's how good it is. So I've known him since he's little. But to have those two guys be able to get matched up, so we just kind of said, we're going to match him up and wrestle. And
good for you, yeah.
It was luckily, I say luckily in quotes, luckily it was the last match of the night. Yeah. And that's it. But anyway, you pick at the beginning of the year, it's a random draw who starts first.
And a lot of times they do that now, because in the old days, you know, by the time they get to the 180, 185 and heavyweight, yep. people were gone. You know, the matches were decided. Now you may have the best matchups taking place late, and it might be the 106-pounder.
Yeah, and last night, nobody left that gym. Not one person left the gym. So it was just a great environment and a great matchup of two great, great wrestlers.
Yep. All right, let's squeeze in one more email here. Let's go to Mike in Bethlehem. He has an interesting question, because I was going to ask who is the most challenging wrestler for you in a little bit. But Mike's question here is, who is your favorite person to wrestle against? So Travis and Tyson, do you have a favorite wrestler? I don't know how you want to take that, or...
Favorite wrestler?
Someone you like to go off up against. Could be someone on, you know, your own team you'd like to square off in practice.
Probably Stefanik. I wrestle Stefanik in the room sometimes. It's fun going at him. He's good 60 pounds heavier, but I still go at him.
Travis, how about you? And who would win a match between the two of you?
Oh, me, of course.
I don't know about that one. I got to take it easy on him a little bit. I really like going with Sasso a lot. He really pushes me hard, even though he's a little lighter than me. He's just real tough. He's real strong. So it gives me a good competition in the room.
You'll notice they pick guys on their own team. Sure. That's what that wrestling room, when they're all good, that's what happens, you know. Some of their best bouts.
Yeah. What have been some of your favorite team matches so far? I know you had Liberty. We were talking about who you have, and I know I looked at the schedule before we came on, but it's hard to follow this year for the EPC, who you wrestle and who you don't. You don't have Northampton, but who are some of the teams you've wrestled against?
We wrestled against – Liberty was our first match. Mm-hmm. That was a fun match, but I don't think we wrestled our best. We could have wrestled better, but it's the first match. It is what it is. Who else did we wrestle?
Well, our schedule is it's not, I wouldn't say weak this year, just they change up the whole.
Yeah, it's hard to.
So, I don't know, the Easton match was really fun. The small stands, everyone was packed in there. It got so loud. It was just a really fun match.
And the tournaments have to be fun, because you're wrestling, you wrestle a lot of good wrestlers. I mean, most of the teams you get in these tournaments, you guys go in, are decent wrestlers.
Yeah, definitely.
Am I right on that?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
We wrestle some of the, you know, like the Beast of the East, arguably the best, you know, one of the best certainly ones. And we went to the King of the Mountain tournament, which had 33 teams there. Yeah. So that really upped our schedule. And the Bethlehem Holiday Classic is a great one. And then the Virginia Duels is always good competition. It's probably our favorite thing to do as a team and as fans, because it's just a fan-friendly atmosphere. And you get to see college teams wrestle in the same, right next door, you know, right in the mat next to you. So, yeah, we do some fun things, but we do get kids
and you
good
get, and
competition.
Shows, you get to show off your wares to people from around the country that normally you might not, you know, oh, might yeah. not get to see.
Absolutely.
And they don't get to see you.
That's right. And so we, you know, we had a Virginia team, a New Jersey team, a Maryland team, and a Pennsylvania team was our four competition, the four opponents down in Virginia. So.
All right. Travis Stefanik, Tyson Klump, our special guests, joining Dave Kroll and Joe Craig and myself. We're going to continue our conversation with them in a moment. Plus, we have the trivia question out there, which is looking for who is third all-time in scoring in Georgetown's men's basketball history. And our final feature coming up right after we introduce Joe Craig's favorite part of the show, and that is Joe's Take, where Joe gets an unlimited amount of time to talk about whatever he wants to talk about, and hopefully he pronounces everyone's name correctly. Joe, take it away.
What's up with Penn State football? I mean, three new assistant coaches walked out on, took other jobs. One was fired, so that's four assistants, and eight players transferred from Penn State to other programs. I can remember the day when nobody left the Penn State program. In fact, they fought to get into the program, including coaches. Something's up. That's all I'm saying. Something's up.
And that's...
That's it. That's Joe's Take.
All right. Both Bangor and Notre Dame also have had great seasons in addition to the Nazareth Blue Eagles. Those two teams squared off against each other recently, and our Sports Talk cameras were on hand for that match and reaction afterwards.
That we won tonight. It was a fun match. The crowd was super. And to come out in a victory, Notre Dame's a good program. And we wrestled well enough to win tonight. It was a great match for everybody. Tonight is what wrestling should be about. We have a boy now at 145 pounds, Brandon Altamari, just doing a real good job. Then he wrestled about three varsity matches this year, but he dedicated himself all summer and preseason. He's surely shown it. We got Robbie Shoemaker, senior. We got another kid who's only a 10th grader, Eddie Hay, and junior Jesse Rocco. We have a work out for us, but we also have some kids that are have filled in nicely for tonight, so I'm very proud of what we're doing here at Bangor.
I thought for the most part our kids competed really well. Real high energy level in the gymnasium tonight. It was our alumni night, so we had a really good crowd. When you forfeit four weight classes, you know, due to injury and other things, you know, it's tough to beat a team like Bangor. Right now, some of our better wrestlers down at 106 pounds, Ryan McGuire is having a very good year. At 113 pounds, Richie Markulix is also having a very good year. Our 220-pounder, Julian Wismer, is a returning state qualifier. So we expect big things from Julian for the postseason. And our 160-pounder, Michael Reif, is a returning state district runner-up. So we're expecting big things.
This is the DKN Sports Minute. We begin the 2016 basketball campaign in DCIAA with the defending state champs, the Woodson Warriors, taking on the Crimson Tide of Dunbar. The ladies took the floor first, with both teams looking to put one in the win column. The Lady Warriors jumped out to a big first quarter lead, at one point up by 26 points. The Crimson Tide just didn't have enough. Lady Warriors win it 65-13. The 15-0 men's team is led by last year's Player of the Year, senior Antoine Walker, who posted 15 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks. The 4-9 Crimson Tide pressed, closing the gap to 4 points at the half. But in the second half, Woodson pulled away. Warriors win 74-60. This has been the DKN Sports Minute.
Quick reminder, you can email the correct answer for our trivia question to rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. One more time, the question is, Patrick Ewing and Eric Sleepy Floyd are number one and number two all-time in scoring in Georgetown men's basketball history, but who is number three? So email your responses, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, if you could include your name and mailing address, and then we'll have a drawing on the next week's show and mail out the certificate to you so you can be a winner. Again, rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, the email address for you to play either on the website, on the podcast, on demand, or on our replays. All right, real quickly, let's go to our roundtable topics. The kids want to get to the NFL predictions. Topic number one, who do you like this weekend in the NFL playoff predictions? Tyson, we'll start with you.
I'm going to have to say New England Patriots.
You're picking New England over Kansas City.
Yes.
All right. And by the way, Tyson has a younger brother who's going to be a stud football player soon. Travis, how about you? Who do you like this weekend?
I like New England. Tom Brady's too good. He's one of the best. But upset, I have Pittsburgh over Denver this weekend.
Ooh, someone in the back is going to really appreciate
that. Mom's going to like that one.
Yeah. Do you kind of pattern your style through Tom Brady? Do you really like him? He's a quarterback?
Yeah, he's a great quarterback. He makes like the team. He doesn't even have that great wide receivers except Gronk, but he's just a great
quarterback.
All you
guys are 6 inches taller.
Dave, do you have time to watch football this time of year? Do you have a prediction?
You know, this is a weird thing. I used to watch a team from the time I was young, and I was a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh.
And it's a weird thing.
Joe, calm down here.
When Tom Landry was fired, I just never really watched pro football anymore. And it's a weird thing. Like, you look back on yourself and you say, I realized there was something about Tom Landry I just really liked. And I have to say, in some kind of weird psychological thing in the back of my brain somewhere, that had something to do with me wanting to coach sometime. He was just kind of the guy, you know. Yeah,
that's a great answer. Joe, I'm skipping you because you picked on me earlier. We only have 30 seconds left. I want to ask the players this, too. Wrestlers this, too. Thank you, Joe. Most challenging high school wrestler you've ever faced? You only have about 30 seconds, so maybe 10 seconds between you. Tyson?
I'm probably going to say my freshman year I wrestled Ethan Lezak.
Oh, yeah.
Was probably the toughest opponent.
Travis?
My freshman year I wrestled Patrick Dugan from Cumberland Valley, and he was tough.
Yeah. Dave, how about you? Who's the toughest wrestler you saw?
Oh, I wrestled a guy named Jarrett Hubbard in the finals of the Penn State Invitational. He was a two-time national champ, and he must have had a bad night. I didn't win, but I did okay against them.
Well, Dave, thanks so much for coming in. And it's been a long wait, but it was well worth it having you in here. And thanks for bringing your players as well. Continued success, Dave Kroll and Sammy, Brock, Tyson, and Travis for joining us here on tonight's program. Don't forget, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another edition of RCN Sports Talk. For Joe, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.